You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Even more demonic rap conspiracy news, and apparently Michigan can be the last place you'll ever be today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, this is Jason Carpenter for Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm back. It's Monday, the 25th. It's not Monday the 25th, it's June 25th. The weather is beautiful, so I don't need any fans. That's always good. I'm always happy about that. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I had a great weekend. It was actually a lot of fun. But here I am back looking at the most ridiculous news possible to have an entertaining podcast. And, you know, sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes I find some great topics, and other times it's a little rough. I did, though, before we get started, I think I have stumbled upon the secret to evolution. I think that I can't really phrase it correctly, but I think I've stumbled upon something that could change everything. Almost like a glitch in the Matrix, and that kind of leads into another story we're going to do. So I was thinking, and it's kind of weird. So we hunt, let's take deer, for example. We hunt deer because their fur is pretty, and they have, like, big antlers. And what if deer started to be ugly? What if they started to evolve to be, like, mottled fur and busted, like, their antlers look all sucky and janky? People would be like, yeah, I'm not hunting them anymore. What would happen is you would go to shoot a deer and you'd look at its fur and it would be all disgusting. It would look like a hobo deer. And you would be like, no, I'm not taking the shot. I'm not, what am I going to do with that? And his antlers all busted up. And so that deer would go home and theoretically have more deer babies. And those babies would be all like busted up. And over time, the big beautiful deers would get shot and I'd put their head on my wall. But the one that looked like it was all cracked out, I wouldn't shoot and it could have more babies over time. Now, I know what you're saying, Jason, that's really smart, but female deers wouldn't date a male deer or a buck. I think it's the scientific term, does and bucks. A doe would not date a buck if he looked like he was a meth addict. And that is true. However, I think that they would if those were the only ones alive. And the deer analogy may not be the best, but I think if animals that we hunt were gross looking, we'd stop hunting them. And why don't animals taste disgusting? Like if I was an animal and I was like, I'm so tired of my species getting bitten by bears and wolves. Let's be a deer again. I'm a deer. And wolves keep eating me, keep eating like my species. I'm going to taste gross. I'm going to start to evolve. So I'm grosser. So when a wolf bites me, he's like, ugh. And then like runs away. And then I live to have other babies. So you can have it both ways. You could have like a busted up looking deer that no one wants to hunt. Or a beautiful deer that tastes disgusting. And then they wouldn't have to worry about natural predators. That, I don't know if that either disproved evolution, why animals taste so good, or actually proved that we can make evolution better. That's one of the two. I was thinking about that the other day. I told my friend, she didn't get it, but she did have a headache, so I'm going to chalk it up. Not to any faults in the argument itself, but the fact that she had a headache. Because we were sitting in a really hot theater for a while. There was more to the story than that. But anyway, so she had a headache. So speaking of glitches in the matrix, which kind of is, you know, evolution. So there is, I like to cover conspiracy theories that are fairly obscure. There are the classics, the ones that I like Bermuda Triangle. I really like disappearing, conspiracy theories or paranormal events, stuff that disappears. Ghost stories are okay if they're out of the ordinary. Like, I want to do one on ghosts that have murdered people. I find that fascinating. Just ghost sightings, I don't find necessarily that fascinating. But when ghosts murder people, there's been a few cases where that may have happened. But overall, I like to do conspiracy theories or paranormal events that people don't know about. And one of them is, we did Dublin, Wisconsin. Another one is Michigan Blue Hell. So again, I saw it. They have this huge huge image, a graphic of conspiracy theories. And we talked about this before. It's like an iceberg. So like the most common ones are at the top. And as you go farther down, they get more and more obscure. Some of them are made up, obviously. And when I say made up, a lot of them are made up. They're not real. They didn't really happen. But people think they did. There's ones at the bottom are stuff that people just spouted off, like, let's put three words together and see, you know, like, John Tesh Nipples. And people will be like, oh man, what's John Tesh Nipples? I gotta look that. And it's just, they just threw random words together. Michigan Blue Hell, it may be one of those, but it's actually, because I've Googled a bunch of them to see if there's any credence to them. And some of them they have a couple pages dedicated to. It'd still be nonsense. But Michigan Blue Hell I find fascinating. So, first off, what the term Blue Hell is, it's a video game term. It's the skybox. So when you're playing a game and it looks like it's a 3D game where you're walking through, let's say you're playing Halo, whatever, and you're kind of walking through the valley and there's mountains on either side, you can clip through the mountains. So you can basically move through the mountains through some sort of glitch in the game, and then you pass through what you thought was a 3D object, but it's actually just like a graphic on either side of you. Now you're in what's called Blue Hell. It's basically like the skybox. It's the parameters of the game. So now you're outside of where the developers wanted you to be, and you're kind of just in this void. And it tends to be blue because what happens is they paint the sky blue and they just basically program a big blue box and then they put the assets inside of it and you're supposed to walk that path. But most games, you can glitch out if you're persistent enough. So the idea behind Michigan Blue Hell, sorry, I'm a little parched. The idea behind Michigan Blue Hell is there is a place in Michigan, it's in an abandoned building, that you can clip out of our reality. Now, there's the theory that we are living in a simulation, that everything we see is actually a kind of like a matrix type simulation. It's being programmed on the fly. And that's why things don't make sense when you look at a macro level and a micro level. That's why the universe seems impossibly far. It's just constantly rendering. There's nothing. Once we start going out there, things will appear. But since we're here, nothing's showing there because we haven't really gone there yet. But anyways, that's one of the theories. The other theory is that the world is just how we see it. So, but the Michigan Blue Hell works for either one. So basically, you can fall out of our reality is the main thing. And you end up in basically the skybox. It does fit more with the simulation theory, but however. So is that likely? Probably not. I do always find it fascinating. I find, as much as creepy as I find caves and forests, and I find both of those very creepy, there's also something very creepy about buildings. You build a skyscraper, you build like a three-story building with 10 offices, and knowing that some of those offices are just empty and like the sun rising and the sun setting and just it being, that's creepy too. I find emptiness creepy. But I also find forests full of animals creepy. No, I find forests full of animals dangerous, but an empty forest is terrifying. So a building full of people, I'd be like, I don't have any problem with these people. But being in an office complex by myself, being in a library by myself, that's really, really spooky. So, yeah, the idea that you can just, there's a random building in Michigan that you can walk into and just kind of fall out of our reality by no, you know, you didn't mean to do it. You know, there's talk that Michigan Blue Hell is related to the elevator game, which is something we may go over in another episode, but we won't. I'll just tell you right now, elevator game, you can Google it, I'll link it, whatever. It's a game where if you go on an elevator and hit the buttons in the right order, you can end up in an alternate reality. Like, you step off the elevator and you're in this alternate reality. They did a short film of version of it, I think, in VHS 2 or 3 or whatever. But anyway, so that's the same thing. It's basically a way to leave our reality, which, I, again, is another conspiracy theory or paranormal event that I find fascinating. I'm going to do an episode. I'm going to do a story on a couple of people who have supposedly come from their realities to ours. It also kind of plays with the Mandela effect. Anyways, where I'm going with this is that apparently also in Michigan, there is a story about a native... There is a story in Michigan that in their Native American history, they had a evil snake god there, and they actually trapped him in this Michigan Blue Hell area. So it's one of those stories that one may have preceded the other. Either there was the old legend about the evil snake god that was causing trouble in the Michigan area and was trapped into this void, and then someone read that story and they said, oh, that's a cool idea, but let me modernize it and call it Michigan Blue Hell. There's the other possibility that the Michigan Blue Hell story was made up first, and then someone went back and made up a story about the tribes, because I really don't know. I'm just reading this on the internet. The most fascinating answer, though, is that they're both true. And that is that there was a giant snake god thrown into a void in Michigan. We built a city on it, and there's still like a frayed area of reality where you can walk into an office building and fall out of the skybox. I mean, obviously, two of those are far more likely than the third one. But again, I think the third one is interesting. I think that's kind of an interesting concept. And it plays into my whole office buildings are creepy if there's nobody in them. Abandoned anything is creepy, because you think, why did people leave this? Whenever I read books or stories about, like, you know, like Mary Celeste or whatever, where people go onto a boat and like it's totally empty and it's you can't use anything but your imagination. You know what, actually, let me do a side story right here, because this kind of plays into it. There's actually a story I was reading about the other day, The Sarah Joe. The Sarah Joe was a little boat back in the 1970s, okay? 1979. I don't have a photographic memory. I got the article pulled up here. I'm sure you guys know how brilliant I am with me knowing... never mind, that joke failed. So, in 1979, these five dudes hopped on a fishing boat off of Hawaii, and they said, hey, we're going to go fishing. And a huge storm came. There's like 40-foot swells. And people are like, oh, no, that boat totally like sucks. It wasn't built for any sort of inclement weather. So, of course, the boat goes missing. People are walking along the beach looking for them. They can't go out to the ocean to find them. The storm's too big. They search for them for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And they never found them. Now, fast forward about, 10 years. 10 years later, there are these nerds from Hawaii doing some sort of science thing. They're from the Western Pacific. This totally sounds like a bunch of nerds hanging out here. Western Pacific for the National Marine Fisheries Service. That sounds pretty nerdy. But anyway, so they're walking along this island and they find the boat. Oh, I should have said the boat was called the Sarah Joe. I don't think I said that in the beginning. So anyway, they're walking along this beach. They find this little uninhabited island, and it has like just like shrubs on it, maybe some trees. I'm looking off in the distance here. They find this boat. They find the Sarah Joe. And they're like, oh, Oh, wait, no, they didn't know. They didn't know about the boat. They're from something related. But anyways, they see the boat and they're like, oh, it's from Hawaii, according to its license plate or whatever's on a boat. And then they saw a grave, and the grave had like a mandible. And it had a piece of paper and a little piece of tinfoil and a piece of paper and a little piece of tinfoil, a piece of paper, a little piece of tinfoil. And so they reported the findings, and investigators came out to the island, and there was five people on the boat. And the jawbone belonged to one of the guys. So the question to me is, you know, well, not just to me. Everyone was wondering, where'd the other four people go? Did they make it onto the island and die and, like, just kind of float away? Were they killed during the initial storm and this guy was in the boat by himself for a month or two? And you know, it was floating around for 10 years, as far as they know. Because what happened was a previous team came on to the island before and didn't record that there was a boat there. So it's just weird. And yeah, you think about, like, where what happened to the other four? The most likely thing is that they got thrown off the boat, and this dude was just floating on the boat for whatever reason. He didn't get thrown off the boat, and he crash-landed. I think it's possible that all five of them crashed on the island, and one of them died, who they buried. And then the other four just went off and had, like, some jungle adventures and, died off one by one. I would hate to die of old age in a cave. But if I was on an island and there was, like, fruits and stuff, I wouldn't mind dying of old age on an island, even a deserted island. You know, as much as I hate abandoned stuff, I think it's different being abandoned on an island because it's, like, half the worst stuff on an island's in the ocean. It can't really get you. But, yeah, you know, and that always, whenever I think about people getting trapped on an island or in a cave, all those miners got trapped in that cave, you think, how long would you have to be trapped on an island with three other guys before you started being gay with them? Like, I think that is a legitimate question. Like, at what point do you say, we're gonna start having sex with each other? Like, the answer is not never. Whatever the answer is, it's not never. You could say, well, and here's, you know, you're not getting rescued. Like, maybe if you were only on an island for a week, it's not like I'm going to start hitting on you within a week. And then, like, a rescue plane shows up. But you know at a certain point you're not getting rescued. It's been 2 years. You're not getting rescued. You're going to start having gay sex. That's just, you can't, people do it in prison. There's consensual gay sex in prison. I don't think it would be that long. I'm not saying don't go on a trip with me because the car might break down and we have to wait for AAA. I'm not saying that. But I think any man would attend. You're not going to say, oh, I'm never going to have sex again for the rest of my life. Think about it. Mull it over. Consider that. And we're going to move on to this last story, which I want to talk about quickly because I don't want these episodes to be too long. And so our friend from a couple episodes back is continuing his conspiracy theory about XXX10 Tacion, who I'm going to call X from here on out because I always mispronounce his name. But we talked about this before. He thought that He thought Balbereth killed X. And so he's popped back up. I'm going to read this real quick. So initially, this is what he says. Initially, I believed X was killed by the Grand Pontiff of Hell, Balbereth. Bereth appears wearing red. X's killers were alleged to have been wearing red masks. On a horse, the killing was a drive-by. Bereth is the most powerful Monday evening and night. X was killed on Monday afternoon. And during the month of June, and according to Christian lore, Bereth is associated with murder and blasphemy. He also organizes pacts with Satan. Considering all this, and knowing X was open about his involvement in the occult and demonology, it was assumed he invoked Bereth in order to gain success and fame, only to have Bereth claim his soul early. Now, here's the thing. We've already arrested one of the guys associated with it. So, that's, you know, I think the idea of this being like a paranormal guy flown around, but he has more. However, this is, again, consider this is me. This is this guy posting. And this is where it goes way overboard. However, I evoked Barith, night of June 19th, in a full ritual using his sigil, candles, incense, and a black mare, and asked him if he did in fact kill X. He said no, but did concur X was killed for being into the occult and for being stupid with it. Spirit snatched his soul because he was nagging them too much. Legit occultists know you never get spirits to do your proverbial laundry because they will demand you worship them and fuck with you if you don't. And this is where he should call the cops because now he has evidence. Barith also showed me an image of the guys who gunned X down. Now, this is the description. I don't know. This might be a little off base. Dark black dudes, tall and skinny, saggy pants. One of them had grills, I think, and they were holding huge guns in front of their black car. He also showed me whom I believed to be another shitty rapper from Florida, Kodak Black, with the killers. But X and Kodak were friends. No idea how he's linked to any of this. So you called on a demon to get a description of some guys who killed a rapper, and the description was tall, dark, black dudes with guns. I mean, he's a demon. Couldn't he have given you their email addresses? Couldn't he have, like, Skyped them into the seance? This is ridiculous. And what I predicted is coming true to, in a point. Coming true in a point. Last time I said we're going to watch this conspiracy grow and it's just going to keep going. You know how I keep referencing that image that has all the conspiracy theories on it? This is popping up on that now. People are trying to get X's murder linked to demons on that big list. And then the list is fairly legitimate as is. But now you have this guy, he's come back, and his best evidence is, oh, you know what I did? I talked to the demon himself. The Dark Overlord, the person who torments souls forever. I asked him if he did it, and he said no. Case closed. I mean, this is ridiculous. I can understand wanting to live in a fantasy world. We all want to live in a fantasy world in some degree. But I can also picture this 16-year-old kid wearing his mom's, like, big black trench coat. Why would the mom have a trench coat? Basically, he's dressed. I just imagine him in clothes that are way too big for his skinny little body, with a candle, a mirror, and something scribbled with lipstick on his hand as he's evoking the spirit. And then he just imagines stuff. And I do not think that the grand architect of hell, or the grand pontiff of hell, is coming to this kid so he can post on 4chan, of all places, that black dudes shot a rapper in Florida. This is ridiculous. However, I will give him credit, he's not asking for money right now, which is a lot different than a lot of the conspiracies we do cover. But this is ridiculous. I do not think that anything that this guy is saying is legit, but it will grow into a real conspiracy. That is weird. That shows what's wrong with the conspiracy theory community. This is going to be just as legitimized as today it was just revealed that the NSA has concrete high-rises in cities where they funnel all their information to process. That is a legitimate conspiracy. That is a legitimate issue that's going on. And right next to it, it's going to be X was killed by Ball Barith. Ridiculous. Well, I think that's going to be it for tonight's episode. I don't think we ran. No, we did pretty good on time. I want to thank everyone for downloading the episodes. We're actually exponentially getting bigger. The show is just getting more and more downloads each and every day. I really appreciate that. I do have a proper email address now. It's deadrabbitradio@gmail.com. We also have a YouTube channel. You can look at Dead Rabbit Radio. Right now, we're just posting another version of these podcasts, but eventually we will be doing some video stuff, and we'll let you know when that happens. And I want, whatever we do in video will still be released in podcast form, so if I am doing something where you can see me, see anyone I'm interviewing, the main thing is still going to be the podcast. That's the main thing for me. My computer can't really handle video processing right now, so that's why we're not doing that. But again, I love podcasting. I think it's great. I listen to it while I'm out walking and so on and so forth. So deadrabbitradio.com. I mean, sorry, deadrabbitradio at gmail.com if you want to get a hold of me. My Twitter handle is Jason O. Carpenter if you want to hit me up on Twitter. That'd be great. Again, thanks for your downloads. Thanks for all your support. I'm having a ton of fun doing this. I hope to see you tomorrow. I still don't have a sign-off. I'm afraid that my sign-off is going to become I still don't have a sign-off, but we are through here today. I will be back tomorrow with some brand new crazy weird news out of this crazy weird world. Have a great day.